Friends, turn please in the Word of God to John's Gospel and chapter 3. And our text this morning is the verse, the final verse of John chapter 3, verse 36. Here is what the John the Baptist says: "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And our subject this morning is very simple indeed. How to receive eternal life? How to receive everlasting life? And this is not an optional question. It is an essential question. It is a serious question. But before we come to explain how sinners can get everlasting life, we must answer some questions about who is Christ? Who is it that we must receive? Who is this Jesus? Because Christ is the giver of this eternal life. Christ is the way to eternal life. So we must understand who he is. So without Jesus Christ, we will never be able to speak about everlasting life. There are people who talk about everlasting life, but they don't know the reality of it. Because Jesus Christ is the only one who gives. And in our text in John chapter 3, just to give you a short and a very quick background, we have the testimony of a man that we read of earlier on, John the Baptist, the greatest man who was ever born, the Lord Jesus Christ said. And he points people to Jesus Christ, and he talks very bluntly about the Savior. He says, he is the Son of God. And he says, you must believe. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. There's assurance in his words. He's convicted about this. God has revealed this to him. And then he says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Again, it's so serious. And he says, there is more to this, but the wrath of God abideth on him. But when we talk about knowing Jesus Christ, I ask you, do you know him? When we talk about knowing Jesus Christ, we are able then to draw the conclusion to say, oh, Christ is the only one by whom we can receive everlasting life. And by looking this morning to six reasons, then it is that we may come to understand something of what it is to seek and to find the Lord. Who is Jesus Christ? How to receive this new nature? You see, you and I need this new nature. And you can't work that up in yourself. You can't make yourself Christian. God must make you Christian. It is the sovereign working of God. And so, how do you receive it? This morning, before even we start, call upon God in your heart. And God will hear you. Lord, speak to my heart. I don't know you the way the scripture says, but I want to know you. Pray to God. And God is the one who uses the means of grace to give you that life. We must receive this eternal life. We must come to Jesus Christ. That's how we receive it. Don't try to change yourself, because it won't be possible. You may try many different ways and antidotes and many counseling, and you might go for therapy and say, I've got these problems and I need to deal with these issues. And I need to read, or if I only read this book by such and such a person who is famous now, and if I listen to so, and if I go and just visit this person and get some self-help speakers to come and speak to me or to go to their events and read their writings. Friends, that's not going to help us. It will leave you empty still. You may try all kinds of excitements in this life, all kinds of pleasures in this world, but you'll never feel fulfilled. Tried it, and you need that emptiness. You need that emptiness that is deep in your heart. Nothing can fill it except the everlasting and abundant life that Jesus Christ gives. And that's why John the Baptist said, he must increase. He must increase. You go to him. Don't worry about what other people think about you. What matters is that where you are with God. In the garden, when Adam fell into sin, the question that he was asked by God, where art thou? And this morning, I ask you, where are you with God? Where are you with God? Maybe you say this morning, well, I live for myself this morning. I live for my job this morning. I live for my future. That's the thing that's on my mind right now. I live for this project. I live for that thing. What about God? This life is not at all in your calculation, is it? It's life after death. All of these things that we are experiencing right now, they will not last. They will perish. They will be gone. I think it will do us so good. Spend, as the scripture says, to go into the house of mourning. To go to funeral homes sometime. And just sit and listen. Go to funeral services when you are able to. It sobers you up. It makes you realize life is short. And that we must stand one day before the Lord, who is our divine judge. It doesn't matter what you know. Knowledge will never save you. But what matters is who you know. So think on these things, my friends, this morning. Now, let us simply go through the verses, from verses 31 to 36. And look at how John the Baptist is describing something about Jesus Christ. And he says, this is the one you must know. This is the one you must believe in. This is the one who gives you eternal life. And look at verse 1. And that's my first point, is this. John says, Jesus Christ is above all. Jesus Christ is above all. This is what we read in verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all, he says. That's the thing. That's the first thing we must think about. Who is Jesus Christ? He's above all. That's who he is. So that's why he's the one who is so important for you to know, because he's the most important person in this world. Why is it that most people wouldn't want to know the most important person in this world? Their own creator, their own sustainer. So who is Jesus Christ? He's above all. And you remember, my friends, the scripture speaks about Adam, the first man, Adam who was formed of the dust of the ground. And that's where we come from. Ever since, every man, every woman is earthly, it says. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. That's us, every one of us here. Every man, every woman, every boy and girl, we are earthly. You spend most of your time thinking about the things of this world, and you've come from this world. We were not born from heaven. We were not born into heaven. And every one of us, there is, you know, maybe for some of us in 10 years' time, we'll be, worms will be just up. Not a very nice thought, maybe on a Thursday morning. But in 100 years' time, you have already been eaten and you've gone back to the dust. That's how it is. But none of us in 100 years' time will be sitting here. That's for sure. We are earthly, you see. From dust we have come, and to dust we will go. That's physically what's happening to us. And so there is no neutral gear for you. There is nothing for you to put it in and then think, well, that's going to be all right. Also, the first man, Adam, was taken from the dust. And so that's our origin. Yes, I know the world would say differently. But that's it. And this body of ours, the Bible talks about this body as a house. House that contains our soul. We're made of soul and body. And the Bible calls also this as a tabernacle, as a tent. We're all, as it were, nomads. We're travelers. We are a traveling community. No matter where you live, you're all travelers who are just passing by, going through this life very quickly, at a fast speed. And we are breaking the record. The speed at which we are going is like a vapor that vanishes. It's like a blink of an eye. That's how fast you are going. Some of us, we are thinking, well, how fast will this car go from 0 to 60? How quickly? Your life is faster than that when you think about it in terms of eternity. That's why this is so serious, what we are talking about. Oh, we may think we have nice houses. We may think we have a nice place. We may think, that we are doing quite well, but it's only a tent being brought down very quickly. It's being dismantled already. You can hear all the sounds of it, all the cracks, all the pops, all the pains. You're already hearing all of the noises. You reach age 30 upwards, you're hearing all of those noises. That's the tent coming down. My friends, there is that first Adam who was earthly, but the Bible talks about the second Adam, the last Adam, who is the Lord from heaven. The Lord from heaven. And you read about him in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, of the Lord from heaven, who gives you life, who has come back to life as well. He's not earthly. Is of the Spirit. So you can see the difference, the contrast that there is. And there's a world of difference between Jesus Christ and us, the best of us. So Adam, you and me, we are of the flesh. We are earthly. And we are naturally flesh and of the earth. But Christ is, it says, above all. He is from the Spirit. He came from above. And verse 13, if you look at it, it says, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. It says, Christ is speaking to you. But I'm also in heaven right now. Present tense. Which is in heaven, or who is in heaven? Already. Everywhere. Who is Christ? The one who gives everlasting life. He is from above. He is above all. So and so when you think about these things, Jesus Christ is uniquely qualified. It's nobody else, none of the prophets, and none of the false prophets, none of the leaders in this world are uniquely qualified. But Jesus Christ is qualified to give everlasting life to us sinners, is uniquely qualified. Actually, is uniquely, it's so unique, and it's amazing, and it is extraordinarily so wonderful. There are at least 550 promises or prophecies regarding the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And you just imagine that, somebody fulfilling all of those things. And Jesus Christ does. And so much of those prophecies have already come about in Jesus Christ, has already been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And when you put it all together, and what's going to come as well, he himself said, these are the things I'm going to do when I come. They have happened, those things that have been fulfilled, they have happened to the very letter. The exact word of it has been fulfilled in the Bible. That's why we can trust in him, friends. So you might read the Bible and it might be a puzzle to you. You might say, I don't make heads or tail of this. My friends, if I could put it like this, you can fit Jesus Christ into that puzzle. It fits exactly as the Word of God says. And so that is why He gives eternal life because he's above all. He fits all of the promises of his scripture. Think about his uniqueness from his birth, from the fact that even he is the eternal Son of God. He's of that everlasting generation. He's been from of old. And he was born in that miraculous way. He lived that perfect life. Imagine, children, he never sinned. He never sinned in his life. No thought, no words came out of his mouth that offended his Father in heaven. But we have, haven't we? All of us, we have offended. We've broken our parents' hearts. We've disobeyed them. How often we have done that? Yet Jesus Christ never did that. He lived a perfect life. And then they hated him and put him to the cross. They put him to shame. They ripped his clothes off him. They nailed him there, and then they pierced his side. They killed the Prince of Life, the scripture says. And yet, they didn't kill him. He laid down his life, the scripture says, for us. Everything about Jesus Christ is unique. And then he, of course, went to heaven, ascended up to heaven afterwards. Who is Jesus? He is above all. And so you should marvel at this. You should be amazed at this, that this Jesus has come down, stooped down from heaven. He didn't have to come. I think so highly of ourselves. I was thinking about this myself this morning, about myself. Why do I get angry? Why do I get upset? Why do I get annoyed? Because I think I am so great. I think people shouldn't offend me. That's what I think. And who am I? Who are you to be offended of God and to then expect God to come down and to save you? Who are we? And yet this is the grace of God. The Lord has stooped down to our level. The Lord of glory has come. He put his feet down on this earth. He came down and men hated him. They didn't want him. And it's still we do the same today. And he lived for about 33 and a half years. At a time when you think you're at the prime of your life. The prime of your life. You can do anything. And yet, he, at that prime of his life, he gave his own life so that we might be forgiven. He went to the Calvary. So he is above all, the scripture says. Is above all. But then verse 32. Look at verse 32. It's saying that his testimony is true. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. So he's exactly giving us what he has seen and heard. His testimony is true. He's testifying of the very things that God wants him to testify. And yet, people won't receive it. They won't accept it. And so, don't be surprised. People bring all kinds of criticisms and all kinds of questions. We are not surprised by that. But his testimony is true, it says. Because he is truth. We were singing about that. The scriptural doctrine that Christ says, I am the way, the truth. And the life is the truth. He's a truthful witness. Have you ever been in a court? Have you put your hand on a Bible? Have you ever made a vow that you will only speak the truth and but the truth and nothing but the truth? Have you ever said, I'm telling you the truth, and someone has rejected what you have said? Said, no, you're a liar. No, I won't accept you. Do that with Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says. But he's coming and telling us the truth. And the problem is because painful. Truth is painful. I remember when I was at school in UK and I was very offended by a computer technician who said to me, you need to grow up and remember truth hurts. And I really was upset about that. I was grumpy for the whole of that day, and I thought he didn't like me. And that's why he was making my life miserable. And so I need to do the job myself and not keep asking him to do things for me on the computer. And he said, I need to grow up. I needed to grow up. He said the truth. I didn't like to hear it. I had heard it from my parents, but I didn't expect the computer technician to say that same thing to me. But it does hurt. It comes to us bluntly. Truth of God, it comes to us not just to tell us what kind of a person we are, but it brings us the remedy as well. And if we were to humble ourselves, repent of our sins, that means to turn away from sin, turn to Jesus Christ, to reject those things and to hate those things, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, he will receive us. He will save us. So when you look at Jesus Christ, is he going to tell you any lies? No, he won't. This is what we are reading. And what he had seen and heard, that he testifieth. What is you're going to hear. But you see, we live in a world where, what is the truth, people say? What is the truth? I don't know what the truth is. I'm not going to make up my mind about anything. It's all relative. It is all relative. But my friends, there is truth. There is definite truth. There is one truth. And Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's nobody else out there. There is no alien going to help us. There's no one else going to come and save us. But Jesus Christ has already been sent. And you want to know the truth? You come to Christ and you repent of your sins, and he will reveal himself to you. He will change your heart. He will give you a new heart. That's what the scripture says. He makes you a new creature. Become new creation. You won't be the person you used to be. And then, not only that, he begins to work on you. Again, that's not very painful. That's not very easy for us. It is very painful for us. The Christian's life is a constant life of working. Christ is at work, chipping away, forming himself in you. That's what it is. And it is the most exciting thing as well. It's not boring. The Christian life is not boring. I always say, if you're bored, it's because you're boring yourself. That's what I say to certain people who say, I'm bored. Because you're boring yourself. But my friends, Jesus Christ transforms life. He gives us life itself. And you see that at a great cost to himself. You go and study the final chapters of the Gospels. You study for yourself what it cost the Holy Son of God to pay the price of our sins. What is the cross? Why is it that Christians talk about the cross of Jesus Christ? Why is it that even we meet together, as the scripture said, that the early church met every Lord's day in the breaking of bread and fellowship and the praise of the Lord? Why did they do that? Because they were remembering the one who died for them and rose again. He died in agony, in an indescribable agony. Not because he deserved it, but we deserved it. We sinners must be on the cross. Because we have mountains and mountains of sin. And no amount of sacrifice is going to pay the price of our sins. No amount of bullocks and oxen and camels and chickens and lambs and whatever else you want to sacrifice and say, I will sacrifice this and that and the other thing, I will not eat this kind of a thing, I will, so on. No amount of that will ever wipe away or forgive us of our sins. No amount of blood that was shed would forgive sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the one who redeems. That's the thing that we need. The pure, perfect, precious blood of Jesus Christ is going to cleanse us. And he testifies to you what is true. Why do we not receive it? Why are we just stubborn like these people were in those days? See, things haven't changed. We say, well, it's all old-fashioned stuff in the Bible. But the issue is that we are the same. So you must be old-fashioned too. I must be old-fashioned too. See, the heart of man is just the same as before. No amount of education, no amount of government procedures and being watched and governed is going to help you. But we need Christ. And his witness is faithful. There is one that you can go and say, he doesn't just say the truth, but he knows me. He knows me and he tells me the truth. And he's reliable in what he says. Let us not be like these people then. Let it not be said of you, so-and-so who was there in that meeting, received not his time. This is not fairy tale. Jesus Christ didn't come to tell you stories. He didn't come to tell you and me fairy tales. No, he's telling us facts. It's not fiction. It's not stories. Only truthful witness of who he is in heaven. And my friends, he knows heaven. He is from heaven. He knows everything that's going on in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father, the scripture says. He can tell us about heaven. And he can also speak about hell too. There are people sometimes you talk to, and they say, well, you know, the devil is over hell. And the devil is the ruler of hell. That's Hollywood, my friends. That's a comic book that you have read that tells you that. The Bible says that, go to hell, God is there as well. That's another subject. But he also tells you about, warns us about the coming judgment. And so he oftentimes says, verily, verily, truly, truly, certainly, certainly. And he's not saying these things to you to sweeten things up. No, he's telling us words of life. He's telling us the truth. He's telling us the condition of your heart. When he says that the things that comes out of your mouth and the lusts and the kinds of words that we say is coming from the heart. That's why we do these things. And so no amount of education is going to change that issue of the heart. And we don't like that. Because we would say, but I was, it's my condition. If I only had a different parent, which child doesn't think like that? If I only had so-and-so's mother, and if I had so-and-so's father, then I wouldn't have to experience these things. Then I'll be a good boy and a good girl. Wouldn't you think that? And you can blame all you want on your parents. I can blame all I want on my parents. And yet, at the end of the day, it is the matter of my heart that must be changed, the condition of my heart. And that's what I need. I don't need to be redressed. I don't need my heart and my life to be redressed. I need it to be changed. Like you have a bad boiler. What do you do with a bad boiler? The whole thing has to come out. And a new one put in. You must do the same thing as well. Because sin is deep. Deep down in our hearts. And we might be seen as a nice person. Well-dressed. Very smart. Religious outwardly. Yet you and I are capable of the worst kind of sins in this world. You know that the most innocent baby in this building is capable of doing, as it grows, worse kind of things. Why we keep praying for them. And the Lord would work in their hearts early in their lives. And here it is, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us the most truth. Verse 33, move on. It says, he that hath received his testimony hath sent to his seal that God is true. What is this saying? It's saying basically, John the Baptist is saying, if you were to believe in Jesus Christ, you are believing in God. That's what he's saying. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. But I thought it was Jesus Christ is true. He's bearing true witness. He says, now it's God is true, saying Jesus Christ is God. The Bible says God was manifest in the flesh. Friends, I am not very good at mathematics, but there is an equation here, and the equation is very simple. The verse there says to receive and to believe God is to believe in Jesus Christ, or to believe in Jesus Christ, who is true, is to believe God. And God is true, saying that Jesus Christ is God. So for you to know God, you must know Jesus Christ. So when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what happened? God comes and he puts his stamp on your heart. That's what the seal is. The seal and the witness of the Holy Spirit in the soul of a person. And you can't do that in yourself, can you? You can't seal your own heart. You can't put a stamp of approval on yourself. No. This is the, as it were, a certificate. It's a stamp. It's the guarantee that now God is in you through his Spirit. And you can have fellowship with the living God. That's what it is. You can have answers to your prayers. You're not praying to the wall when you're praying and your head is down. You're not praying to the floor. You're not praying to the ceiling. You're praying to God who is in heaven. You're communing with the Lord. It's not just a list of things you want from the Lord. You know him and you're talking with him. You're pleading with him. Whom you know. That's what this seal is. You can have answers to your prayers. And even if he says no to you, that's an answer to you. If he says not just now, that's an answer to you. So you come to him and you believe in him. The fourth thing is this in verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. What is this saying? It's saying that he gives us the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ has been given the Holy Spirit of God, and he gives the Spirit of God to us. God giveth not the Spirit by measure to him. The fullness of the Spirit of the Lord. That's what it does. When a sinner like me converted, when I trust in Christ, he gives me of his Spirit. That's what he does. Unlimited. You see, Jesus Christ is born by the power of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. And he ministered by the power of the Holy Spirit. He taught by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every aspect of the life of Jesus Christ was covered by the Holy Spirit's power and blessing. And also he gives the Holy Spirit without measure. The two faces of the same truth, two sides of the same coin. He is unrestricted, unlimited. So who is Jesus Christ? Oh, he received and has and gives the Holy Spirit without measure. This is the Spirit of God without measure. You want to know God, you must know Jesus Christ, because he gives you God. He gives you himself. He gives you the Holy Spirit. Then fifthly, verse 35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He's saying all is given to Jesus Christ. Everything in this world is the possession of Jesus Christ. Everything is to be for his glory. That gives purpose for us. That gives purpose for your life. Are you living your life without purpose? You talk to people and the goal of your life? What's the purpose of your life? I don't know. I'm just trying to do my best. That's all I'm trying to do. But everything in our life, has there is a reason for it. And that is for Jesus Christ. Everything has been given to him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Think about that. And remember here, well, I won't go down this path. I was thinking about maybe mentioning here that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are referred to in this text, but that's for you to study later on. Our time is going. But here it's a saying that Jesus Christ is over all. Now, in the English language, when the term all is used, it means all. And it doesn't mean nearly all. It doesn't mean most. It means everything in this context here. It means all the power has been given to him. That's what he says at the end of Matthew's gospel, that all power has been given unto me. That's all authority and all ability has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and on earth, he says. And so not just some power, but all power. Not part of a power, but all power is in the hand of the Lord Jesus. That's why he is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Have you power? Can you do things in your life? Can you fix things in your life? What's going to happen to you in time to come? Go to the one who has all power. Commit your soul into the hand of whom, who can change you and form you and lead you and guide you. Don't go through this life like a little boat in the middle of an ocean, not knowing where you're turning, just doing your best. And then, finally, how are we to receive this Holy Spirit, or this eternal life, I should say? How are we to receive? How are we to get eternal life? It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's the final thing. Let me explain this briefly. So the Lord Jesus Christ is above all. He's the truthful witness. He's God. And he has received the Holy Spirit without measure. And he gives the Holy Spirit with much blessings. Has all the power and all the authority given to him. Then what does he give? The Savior gives eternal life. That's what he gives. What does Jesus Christ give to sinners? My friends, he gave himself so that he might give us eternal life. He gave himself. There was no other way. No, we like cutting corners. We like to get to that place sooner. I remember when I first came to Providence, and we were all using all the main roads coming here. Maybe most of you have done the same. But then I learned there are all these back streets. You could go, you can shave off about 10 seconds if you use those. And I thought, great, 10 seconds sooner I get to the chapel. And but that's natural man. Just like to take corners. But my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ did not do that. He had to die for us. For us, there is no way for us to receive eternal life. That is how much he loved us, that he would lay down his life for us. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. What does he give? Happiness, luxury, health, wealth, political power? No, he gives everlasting life. That's the question we were asking right at the beginning. How can I receive everlasting? And here we have it. We have the explanation here. What is everlasting life? Everlasting. The word everlasting means eternal. There is no end to it. Who is eternal? God is eternal. And he gives us eternal things. Everlasting life comes from the one who has everlasting life, who is life itself. Who is the great I am? Not human life. You're not talking about human life. Not a mere life. He gives the life of God. He gives his own life for us. God gives us of his life. My friends, the Lord Jesus Christ gives you this testimony, this witness of himself. His sacrifice on the cross was so that, and it was so successful, it was so sufficient to forgive all sin, all manner of sin, for all time. So no man-made religion, nor any amount of good work can help you. Because you go to Jesus Christ this morning. He came to give us something we didn't have. So the question is, how can I be saved? How can I have my sins forgiven? How can I obtain everlasting life? Can I do anything for you? No, I can't do it. If I could, I would. And I'm sure Christians here, if they could, they would. If they said, you will receive everlasting life if you chop off your arm, if you cut out your eye, if you cut some of your limbs off, then the other person will have life. But we can't do that, or we would. If he came and pressurized you and forced you and those kinds of things, we would. But we can't. You must call upon God. You must trust on him yourself. My friends, don't believe in the atheist lies. Don't believe in the foolish notions of the world and philosophies of the world and think that, oh, well, these are new things people haven't thought of. There's nothing new under the sun. You read the latest books and latest things you listen to. It's been discussed over the centuries, and people have not come to any kind of sense or conclusion about them. But the Lord Jesus Christ reveals these things to us and says, this is life, that they might know me. Says that they might know me. You know him. He that believeth, says, he that believeth has everlasting life. Not will have. It doesn't say he that tries harder. No, he that believes, it says. That's how we receive. And then remember, it doesn't say they that believe. Very individual. Says he. Talking about you, talking about me. As individuals, you believe that. If you surrender yourself to the Lord, because he will sovereignly and graciously save. Put down your arms. You put down all the accusations and all the questions. And you go to him. Plead with him for mercy. And salvation is by grace. Not by race. Not by family line. Or any of that kind of a thing. I can't inherit it. You can't inherit it. Our children can't inherit it. It must come to them by the grace of God. So my friends, here it is then. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see it. You won't even see it, let alone experience it. What a challenge this is. But that the wrath of God abideth on him. My friends, the wrath of God abode in Jesus Christ when he was on the cross suffering. Don't let your soul abide under the wrath of God. Run to the Savior, even this morning. Go home and plead with the Lord. If we can help you, tell us. And we would seek to point you to Jesus Christ and talk with you about the Lord. Don't let this pass. Don't let these days pass because you don't know what's going to happen. All you have is now. So may God then bless these things to each one of us. Let us.